onions. They like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues on 91.3 Sport FM. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today, myself, Chris Brownie, joined today by Paris Fabriziani and Mel Hall. Morning, ladies. I feel like a thorn between two roses this morning. How are we?
Morning, Chris. We're very well, thank you.
Very good after a good win.
Oh, yes, we're up and about. But before I get on, there's been some sad news, as we know. The founding chairman of 91.3 Sport FM, Colin Minson Minow, passed away earlier this week, and our condolences go to the family. So, very sad news, but yeah, condolences to the Minson family. Anyway, let's move on. On the show this morning, we look at Blues and AFL news. We preview the game coming up against the Bulldogs, and of course, we look back on that great win against the Tigers on Thursday night. Our special guest interview today is former longtime Carltonian president, Carlton Life member, and the Carlton Now Movement initiator, Vince Lochisano. As always, we cross live to the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. Provide information on WA Blues events and anything else we can squeeze into this hour. But Paris, firstly, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
Yeah, we'd like to thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers Cannington, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers and ICU Finance Group.
Yes, that's right. So Mel's showing me something here, Mel.
I just think we should. I normally.
Okay, we will. Yep. But before we go that, welcome back, Paris. It's been a while since you've been on the show.
It has, and I actually forgot how to get here, which is why I just snuck in the whole time I was on the freeway thinking, oh no, I don't know how to get there.
And you may notice that our regular voice, our Dougie Hawkins of the show, who can't pronounce things correctly, he's not here. You know why? He's getting a snip, the poor bugger. Ah, good luck, Craig. I hope it goes well. And next week when you're in the studio, you'll be talking with a higher voice. Well done, well done. Anyway, we're not going to go into Blues news and updates because we had such a great week.
We're going straight
into the review of the game on Thursday night.
Thursday night, up against the Tigers, and everyone was nervous watching the game. So the last time we defeated Richmond in this round one fixture, I think it was 10 years ago.
10 years, yeah.
And the last time we had beat them anyways was 2013 in the elimination final. The only current Carlton player to have beaten Richmond for Carlton is Ed Curnow, who wasn't playing. So there was a lot going on the game, and obviously it was Michael Voss's first game as coach. Blues fan growing up, you know, it was just the perfect start for him. So as well, it was St. Patrick's Day, and Paddy Cripps had an absolute blinder of a game.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was going to say, what's a blinder?
I love that ad.
I know.
So Paddy Cripps flexed his muscles to remind the AFL that he's still one of the most destructive midfielders in the game at the peak of his powers. So the West Australians single-handedly pulled the Blues back into the game in the second quarter, kicking two quick goals in succession at the City End and dictated terms around the ball before slotting a crucial goal in the final quarter to help put the Tigers to bed. So Cripps had 30 touches in the game.
Well, I just want to touch on the support of Kennedy and everything, and Kennedy,
Chera, Hewitt.
And that's just let Cripper run his game. Like, yeah, it's just been incredible to see the difference.
The inside mids, I think, definitely won the game for them, even watching the replay when I got home on Thursday night, just to really, yep, this actually happened.
Because Chera had 30 possessions as well. Yep. Kennedy was 36.
Plenty.
Yeah, 33, I think. Hewitt kicked over 30. There was just an incredible amount of disposals from our teams. And in that last quarter, we won the clearances 17-2. So that's when that 45-point turnaround came. I think the best thing of the day, though, was Doc's comeback.
That goosebumps. I almost had tears in my eyes.
It was just absolutely perfect. Takes a mark, gets a 50 penalty, kicks a goal straight through. I think there wasn't a dry eye in the house at the MCG, and imagine just being there and watching that. So that was absolutely fantastic. But I think one of the other big stories of the night was the inclusions of Chera and Hewitt. They were absolutely phenomenal in the game. And I think at three-quarter time, we were all a little bit nervous, but the fight back from the Blues to actually pull themselves up and win that game, 45-point turnaround against the Tigers in a huge game. I'd love to know what Michael Voss said to them at three-quarter time.
Not a lot, because you had a sore throat, I think.
Right? It's just, I think it was just baffling to think usually in the third quarter we kind of let go. That's our, you know, solid game. And in the last quarter we kind of fight back. And I think in this one it just seemed like a rounded game. That first quarter wasn't great. I didn't mention that because it was a bit of a what's going on, a little bit of stage fright. But it was just such a fantastic team game from everybody.
What about Tom DeConing's mark in the first quarter?
Oh, he was absolutely fantastic. Although Lee Montagne kept calling him Sam.
Sam?
Because his brother.
Oh, fair enough. Look, it was fantastic. That midfield depth now and the pressure is just amazing.
It was just a fantastic team game, and I think the whole thing that Voss has been talking about, team defence, was absolutely phenomenal. And the people like Mitch McGovern, who was, you know, semi-average the last couple of years, he was absolutely fantastic, and I think he really filled the void of having Liam Jones there, to be honest.
I think it's one of the best games I've seen Gov play for us.
Yeah. And probably, only he didn't hit the post. Jack Silvani obviously hitting the post twice.
Four times, didn't we? Four times we hit
the post. Well, Carlton Twitter tweeted, sack the post.
That's beautiful.
But yeah, fantastic game for all Carlton fans. I think everyone had a big smile on their face, and there was a lot of things on social media saying we're acting like we've won the grand final, but you know what? For us, the Tigers in round one, that is our grand final sometimes.
Yeah, it's just good. I was just glad to see, just as you mentioned before, and you mentioned that about Vossi and the team game, the team defence, the team everything. It was just all team.
And it makes you think, what's going to happen when Sam Walsh is fit and firing? Does Cripps go to centre-half forward? Who goes on the wing? I don't think you can really take out
those
midfielders.
Who gets dropped?
It's a good position to be into.
You know, who does get dropped when Walshy comes back?
Whoever's not performing.
The other quick thing I want to mention, the small forwards, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Durden's going to be something special.
Durden and Owies, oh my goodness.
Durden was so good. And I think a lot of people as well are saying that we won the game on cheap 50s. Oh. But you know what? If Richmond don't want to know the rules.
That 100 metre was a classic.
Who was the player that threw the ball?
Graham.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Because normally, that could have gone the other way, because normally they say you're taking out the legs, but he caught a kicking in danger, I think. And he threw it to but that was beautiful. But no, look, it was a great win, up and about. Just a pity we couldn't have had a function and have everyone there. But anyway, hopefully they'll lift these rules very soon by the end of this month.
And we can, fingers crossed, the Blues don't now contract COVID.
Oh,
well, that's going into my Blues news.
Let's go into Blues news, Mel. Let's go into any updates, and we know we got plenty of news.
Well, obviously the win was fantastic for us all, but the big news coming in yesterday was an announcement from Brad Lloyd that our coach, Michael Voss, and Jack Martin have both come down with COVID, along with two other staff members. So there's four cases at Carlton at the moment. And we've got Ashley Hansen, who's going to step in as coach.
Isn't that ironic that he's come from the Bulldogs and he's going to coach against the Bulldogs?
Is this his first ever game as senior coach of AFL?
Senior coach, yes. He did coach the Bulldogs reserves to a premiership.
Yep, but I wasn't sure if he ever stood in as a...
No. So this will be... fingers crossed he doesn't catch COVID, because they were all that.
Coach from Zoom.
My concern, and you're probably going to touch on it, is that how many in the next few days, how many more players
are going to go down? Yeah.
It'd be like Travis Head, though, for the Australian cricket team. He caught it and no one else did.
That's true.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
We can only hope, because it's a really, after such a win, it's a disappointment. And now we're all, you know, you're concerned. How are you going to feel the side if
the footy gods are humbling us?
Yeah, they're saying you've celebrated enough. Cop this. Sorry, Mel.
No, and then I'll just move on to our current injury list. An update: we've got Dominic Akui. His groin. He's back into full skills program and is in the reconditioning phase. He's a good chance to be available in the next fortnight, which is great news, because I'd actually like to see what he can bring.
Yep. He's very athletic.
Then we've got Cunners Cunningham. His knee. Cunners is currently in a running program with the aim to be available in the second half of the season. He's still quite a way away. Then we've got Josh Honey, also with a knee. Honey underwent surgery last week around his knee. He is currently in recovery phase, and they're going to integrate him back into the running program. He's expected to be available to play the first month, within the first couple of weeks of this season, apparently. So that's also good news. And we got Caleb Marchbank, another knee. Marchbank has started integrating back into the skills program. with the aim to be available to play some football between round 5 and 8 this season, they're expecting. Then we've got Liam Stocker with his ankle. He's returned to the skills program and he's also in the reconditioning phase. He's expected to be playing football within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Sorry to cut in here, but I cannot wait to see Liam Stocker play under Voss.
Yeah.
He's just that absolute ideal big-bodied player that Voss would just absolutely love, and he'd thrive in that environment just like Matt Kennedy has.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
Yep. Well, 2 to 3 weeks so we can start getting excited. And
what about Superman? When's he coming back?
That's the next one. We got Walshy, and obviously it's his ankle. We all know that. But he's beginning to step up in his rehab. Saturday, he's responded really Saturday he's responding really well. Sorry.
Did you see any vision of him? They've had it of him training?
No,
running?
He
looks good.
He's also continuing being very closely monitored by the high performance staff. He's returned to play in the coming weeks, but they're not taking it lightly. They're really monitoring him very closely. So I'm personally thinking of being down the 2 weeks.
Yeah, so just don't rush him.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of those injured players come back. I think as well, Josh Honey, who you mentioned on our forwards, didn't really do a lot on Thursday night. I think our three forwards, Deconin, Kerno and Terry Mackay, only had one goal out of the 14. So it was all our midfielders and backmen kicking goals. So I'm looking forward to seeing Honey kind of...
But isn't that a good sign?
I know. How good?
You're right. I'll touch back on Thursday night, but I don't know what you thought, you guys, but I thought Charlie looked a bit starstruck, a bit lost.
But is his first, he did play
a couple of games last year,
but I still don't think he's game proper, like he's fit, obviously game fit, but I don't think he's got these footy nous about him like he used, he's just not as sharp as
I'm looking forward to seeing if it was potentially stage fright or a bit of nerves. I'm looking forward to see, I know they're not playing up against each other, but Aaron Norton last week was absolutely fantastic, and the whole time I was watching him play, I was thinking, wow, he kind of looks like Charlie Kerno did a couple of years ago, just the way he was running on the ground. So I'd like to see them two at either end, just, a big, tall forward.
But when you think about it, 2 years is a long time.
Oh, yeah.
There's a long time to get everything working back into the way it needs to go. So hopefully it is just a little bit of,
He'll be right.
He'll come good.
When that forward line functions, oh, my God, watch out.
It's just, I know we keep going back to it, but I'm still just a bit absolutely shocked at what happened, what we saw.
Because we're not used to it.
Even things saying the opposition, we shut them down. Trent Cotchin was playing. Did anyone even know that?
No. I don't want to talk about Richmond, but they've got a couple that they're on the decline. Mm. They're not on the up. Anyway, on another good thing on Thursday night, prior to the game where we beat Richmond, we had our seconds playing at Punt Road.
I just wish they streamed.
And do you believe it? Again, this would put me in a bit of shock when I was looking at the scores while it was being played. We were just belting them.
When I was the most shocked at quarter time, 53-3, or 56-3. Yeah. I was thinking, what on earth is going on?
So Mel, I know you've didn't see it, but you've gone through it all. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it was for those that don't know, the final score, we 139-62. So we didn't just win; we won convincingly.
Well, they sort of stopped a bit in the last quarter because we were over 100 points in front.
Yeah,
and they obviously just put the foot on the brake and
132-23 at some point. Yeah. So they must have let them creep in. They probably got a little bit tired or thought, "Oh, this is a bit mean." Mercy rule.
The good thing, and you're probably sorry, I'm probably stealing your thunder. But one of those tweets was Jack Carroll to Motlop goal, and they said it just continually happened. Mm. So I'm really excited about Jack Carroll.
Oh, same. There was a lot of things about players saying that he was someone who was most improved in the off season, and they were looking forward to seeing him.
Well, what I was going to also say before we go right through the details, I want to just cover off, obviously when an outbreak came that we've got COVID at the club and everyone started to panic about how are we going to fill the side. Well, obviously we've got to pull on our reserves, and the depth that we've got in our reserves at the moment, with Motlop, Carroll, Dow, Fogarty, Boyd, there's still a lot there that we, are going to be able to call on Paris.
And even experienced players like Jack Nunes.
Yep.
Like, he's been around for a long time. He knows how it works. He has his moments. He's not the absolute best player in the team, but he's a team player.
And one of your favourites, Plowman.
You know what?
Well, he got a run.
Bad.
He did get a run.
He actually, that defence with him, as you said, those two, the defence on Thursday night for the seconds, they were just repelling.
I think as well, you know, what we've seen of him in the past might be completely different to what we've seen of him now. Matt Kennedy, for example, in the last few years, he hasn't really hit his peak. Yep. And, you know, he had all that potential when he was at GWS. He just didn't really hit his stride. Voss has come in, and in the Amy Park series match, he had, what, 38 touches yeah. and a goal, and in this one, 33 and a goal. You know, maybe Voss is changing the players' perspective on things and changing the way they play, because he's not going to allow passengers to come in. It's going to be like, what was it, 2008, no passengers? I think we're actually going to be able to see that, so I'm interested to see what Plowman and players like, you know, Cotterill and Nunes and Dow are like in that situation.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because you're right, I totally agree. And not just Michael Voss, but the assistants he's got in there now.
Yeah.
They're around him. They've been around football for a long time, and they've proven they've been successful, which is good.
And I think as well, the fight and the want to play. I got a message the other day saying, where's Paddy Dow? And it's like, well, I don't think he's going to break into the midfield, because he's not a big-bodied mid, and that's what Voss wants. So how's he going to improve to be able to break into the team? Where's he going to go? Is he going on the wing? Maybe. Is he going, you know, in the forward line?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see.
Yeah.
So, and another thing I just was going to touch on, a really good thing, is that we had 11 goal scorers in the VFL. You know, Motlop 3, you know, Cotter's got 3, Dow had 2, you know, Boyd, and, you know, Young Cripper had 2, and then you've got Kemp, Nunes, like all these guys that we're talking about. So
it's funny, you know, you're talking about COVID, and we may need to get these top-up. The top-up players that we put in were all young.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you look at the other teams, they're putting in like a retired players and these bit of experience. So
I was quite intrigued looking at the list. I think Port Adelaide, in my opinion, have the best list of the top up players, but they've got people like both the Menzels, Bryce Gibbs, Hamish Hartlett. They've got a lot of old AFL players who they're probably just thinking, perfect, they're going to be ready-made stars. But yeah, Carlton had a lot of just kids in the AFL team.
Yeah, which I don't know. Well, we'll find out if we get more COVID cases during the week of how they step up. But at the moment, again, it's only a practice match. Don't get carried away with the seconds. But for me, normally the results in the past has been different. We're the ones been getting smashed because we've had no depth.
And in the last year or so, yeah, the VFL team has been a bit average. But I thought Richmond's VFL team was good as well.
Yeah. But I don't know what's happening.
I quickly went and checked the team. Do they have their stars in? They had Sydney Stack. They had like that. And they just...
Yep.
Didn't have a result.
That's good to see.
Guys, I also just want to finish off on the AFL, our last game, at the AFLW, our last game, because our girls played a bloody cracker of a game, and it's a super good way to finish the season. I know we went down by 1 point, but I was very... The way they played, you know, Gruen, like she was incredible.
Oh, she was
incredible.
Yeah, she was good.
But she did get a little bit of strife.
She got fined, didn't she?
She did. She got fined a $400 sanction because it was her first offence. But the way we played with our aggression and the passion, it was a bloody good game. I just wanted to get that in quickly.
I think I've said it at the end of last year when we lost those experience, but we got all those draft picks and... I think we're on the right track with the AFLW because of the new teams coming in. We've got so many young women there that are just going to rise. Like, look at Maddie Hill. I mean, oh, my God.
Oh, Mimi
Hill.
The one player, though, I'm really hoping they retain, and she was crying after the game. No, Lalawifi.
Yes. Bender. She played an.
She is absolutely phenomenal.
Her passion is what brings something to like we're bringing youngins in. But her passion, she's got something really unique about her that I think is brilliant. Her connection with Maddie Prasparkas and everything is just wonderful.
Just her crying after the game was a little bit of a mirror of Katie Loyne's crying the year before in the last game. So I'm just really hoping she doesn't leave to go to one of the opposition clubs.
Who knows? Because there's four coming in, they'll be poaching everywhere.
Guys, what you know, I was listening to a Darcy Vesio post that she put up, and the connection between the side that they have is really strong, and so she believes that they're going to be able to retain most of the side. So we can only cross fingers.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Anyway, that's our first segment for the morning. It's time to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors, and when we return, we cross live to the Carlton Now spokesman, superstar Vince Lochisano.
Today.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Time now to cross live to former Carltonian president, Carlton Life member, the main man for the Carlton Our Group, that forced the board to backtrack on proposed new changes to the Constitution. I speak of Mr. Vince Lochezano. Good morning, Vince, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning, Chris, and good morning, Mel, and also to Paris.
Mate, it's great to have you back on the show. Mate, you've been here, you've been in the studio before, but it's good to have you back on.
Yes.
Mate, before yes, I let... It was great times. Remember, I can remember, we went, and that day after, we went and beat Freo, remember?
We did indeed. Was it the game that Mark Murphy kicked the goal with about less than a minute to go?
That's the one, mate. That's the one.
I think that was the one.
That's it. Mate, Vince, before I let the ladies ask you some questions, mate, let's go right back to the beginning. Can you explain to us and the listeners when and how you become a Blues supporter, mate?
Wow. I was introduced to Carlton by my father, who was a Carlton supporter, and he took me to a game back in 1976. That just goes to show you how bloody old I am now.
I was only about a seven-year-old
or so, and he took me to a game at Princes Park between Carlton and North Melbourne, and that was the infamous match where Malcolm Blight took a mark with seconds to go, and then the siren went. And everyone thought he was never going to make the distance. We were a point in front at the time, and he kicked this massive torpedo right through the big ones, as we all know. And that was heartbreak at the end of that. But I've got to tell you, from that moment on, I was hooked, and I became a Carlton supporter after that.
That's great, mate. I'll hand you over to the girls, mate.
Sure thing.
Morning again, Vince. I just want to touch on and wondering if you could talk us through everything that went on back in August last year with the petition and the call for the AGM and all the proposed constitution changes, et cetera, et cetera. Can you talk the listeners through your reasoning and your actions and the outcome and as we stand right now?
Sure. Look, I'll try and keep this as concise as I can. I guess at a time in late July when the club was in turmoil, we'd been underperforming. It was clear that we weren't going to make finals anymore for the, ninth year running. And at a time when there was a review being undertaken at the club, there was all sorts of speculation going on about our senior coach. All of a sudden, Carlton members received a letter with no fanfare, no warning, no promotion, where it was proposed that our constitution be completely replaced. So we're not just talking about tinkering with a few clauses here or there. We're talking about a total, transformation from one constitution to another. It was totally rewritten. But what upset me is that when I looked into this, I discovered a number of clauses which had been inserted. In my opinion, quite deceptively, without any reference to them at all, where a lot of our members' democratic rights would have been diminished and, in some regards, done away with, really. And when I discovered those clauses, I road tested it, if you like. I rang a few people that I knew and asked them what they thought of this new proposed constitution, and they were completely asleep to it. So I thought, well, if these people are asleep to it, well, then probably the majority of Carlton members will be asleep to it. So I brought this to the attention of Carlton members by going public and expressing my extreme dismay at what I saw was a deceptive attempt to effectively hijack the club from the members by the current board. And if that constitution had been passed at the time, they only gave us 21 days' notice before they were proposing to vote it through. So we effectively brought about enough attention to this. There was a lot of negative reaction to it that the club had received since I went public. And because of that, they then postponed that meeting and deferred it to the more recently held annual general meeting back in February, only a month ago. So, and the beauty of that is that by the time that came around, Luke Sayers had obviously seen the writing on the wall and decided to withdraw all of those what I called power grab clauses. So I hope I've made that clear. I hope I haven't taken too long to explain it, but in essence, it was a big win for the members. and the clauses in question were all removed. So so it's back to having a new constitution, yes, which was largely supported by myself and the people in the movement that I now head up. But those particular clauses were removed. That was the good news.
Hi, Vince. How are you going?
Hi, Paris.
So you just mentioned Luke Sayers. So obviously we've got a new president, a new CEO and a new coach. What effect do you think having, you know, a whole new holy trinity of those people come in can have on the club?
I like the way you refer to them, Matt. Yeah. The holy trinity. Sorry, what's the question?
So what effect do you think those three coming in, all three of them being new, can have an effect on the club?
Look, I think what happened last year when this particular incident happened with the Constitution is that we had the previous president still in power. We had the eight board members that many of them had been there for a long, long time in a period of mediocrity and failure. Half the board was turned over. So we saw the injection of four new board members. Luke Sayers took over. He had been on the board for 9 years prior to taking over as president. I think clearly he has been advised by his PR team as to how to conduct himself as the new president and what may have been lacking in the previous president. So what you've seen since is that you've got a more... I guess, touchy-feely type president. He's been out and about a lot more on social media. I know he was on your show last weekend. So he's being trotted out in an attempt to win back, if you like, a lot of the grassroots members. And he's done a reasonable job of it so far. Long way to go. But I think the injection of a new CEO, Brian Cook, who's a very experienced hand, that was certainly a welcome change. And hopefully he can help turn around some of the cultural aspects that this club's been lacking in for a number of years. And, of course, Michael Voss coming in as the new senior coach. I don't think it'll be any secret to say that he was not their first choice or their second or probably their third. But in the end, he's been the one that they've appointed after everyone else fell over before him. And good on him. He's done a really good job so far in bringing in a new style of footy, and it looks like he's also got the benefit of a few key recruits that are going to certainly help, especially in our midfield. So I think so far those three additions have been welcomed by Carlton people by and large, but of course it's a marathon, not a sprint, and it'll remain to be seen over the next 3 years, because essentially, Luke Sayers has got 3 years left as the president before his term comes to an end. Brian Cook's made no secret of the fact that he's only there for 3 years, whether we win, lose or draw. And same with Michael Voss, his contract is for 3 years. So a lot of their success or failure will happen in that three-year period.
Vince, I'm just going to go and touch on the game that we saw on Thursday night, and I can only assume that you were there. But the biggest difference, like, that I can see with the side is the energy, and there's sort of like a different kind of a camaraderie around, like, the boys, you know, the team is just incredible. But being there live, I'm assuming you were there, we're over here watching it on telly. Is there a different vibe?
Look, I think it was crucial that we won that first round match. I think there's so much that was riding on that result, because if it had been a loss again, and I guess with, you know, a quarter to go, it wasn't looking too good, but we were good enough to turn it around and put on 7-0 in basically the last 18 minutes of the game. I think that just showed that there's... a steely new resolve to the team, and that they're not going to give up, and that they've got the belief that they can come back from a situation like that and, 20 points down and still win the game, and in the end win quite handsomely. So I think there has to be something said for that, and you've got to give credit to the coaching staff for creating that sort of belief in the team. I think the pre-season was pretty good, and it just goes to show you that sometimes you can take certain things out of pre-season games. And we won both of our pre-season games against St Kilda and Melbourne, and that must have helped instill that sort of belief. But I think it's good that we won the first round game. That's going to set us up for hopefully what will be a very positive season.
Can only hope, mate. Mate, I've got to ask you this question, Vince. Mate, you've been a long-time Carltonian president. You've been a successful businessman. You've sponsored Cade Simpson for 15-odd years. Do you have any ambitions of running for, firstly, a position on the Carlton board and then maybe president?
Look, Chris, if you're talking about personal ambition, it's never been about personal ambition for me.
Yep.
It's always been about the club and about the members. What I chose to do last year, or what I decided to do last year, was, I guess, in response to a calling, I felt that if no one else was coming forward to shine a light on what I saw was the Carlton board acting against its own members, I wouldn't have done what I did. And I didn't do any of it for personal gain. I can tell you that I was even offered a position by Luke Sayers to represent the members, not a board position, but an official position representing the members of the club and reporting to the board and consulting to the board and trying to, I guess, offer me something that would have made me feel important. That's not what it's about for me. It never has been. It's something that I haven't harboured any ambition to do in terms of being president of the club or anything like that. In fact, you know, what I wanted to do last year, and we took steps to do it, as you remember, we had a petition to, in fact, give the Carlton members a choice and a vote to see whether they wanted to continue with this board or not, and whether they wanted to have an election of positions or not. Now, that petition was lodged at the club. It had more than double the required signatures to bring about that extraordinary general meeting, and yet when it was submitted to the club, they lawyered up, they employed some of the most high-powered lawyers you can imagine in Melbourne, at great expense to the Carlton members, I assume, and they batted away that petition and tried to claim that it wasn't valid. Now, that to me is a blatant disregard for the democratic rights of the Carlton members. It should have happened. It should have been scheduled, and the Carlton members should have had their democratic right to say, yes, we want to continue with the existing board, or no, we want an election of those eight positions and make those decisions ourselves. Now, that was denied to the Carlton members, and that's something that I wasn't very happy with, but unless we were prepared to start outlaying many tens of thousands of dollars, maybe over $100,000, just to take the matter to the Supreme Court, unfortunately, it wasn't able to be brought about. So the compromise position was that they then came back to us and said, look, we don't want war, we want peace. We will withdraw these power grab clauses if you withdraw your petition. And that's what we ended up doing. So I think in the end, common sense has prevailed in that respect. But the Carlton members should still have had their say. And I do wonder whether any future petition to hold the board accountable will ever see the light of day if the club is going to continue to go back to high-powered lawyers to try and bat away any petition in future.
Yeah, agree.
So that's something that the Carlton people should be concerned about. You've got some very high-powered people, some very, if you like, rich billionaires who you know, to refer matters like this to their lawyers is nothing for them. But to the Carlton members, it's all about democracy. I do wonder whether we will ever be able to hold the board accountable ever again, unless you've got someone on your side who's prepared to throw hundreds of thousands of dollars at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we've protected the members' democratic rights in writing in terms of our constitution, but it'll remain to be seen whether those democratic rights will ever actually see the light of day.
So, Vince, after watching on Thursday night, is there a player or players that you're most excited to see this year?
Well, where do we start, hey? I guess it was great to see, in the absence of Sam Walsh, that our midfield really stood up. I think the addition of Adam Chera and George Hewitt is clearly going to be a big boost to our midfield. The question was always going to be, were they, you know, really going to become an integral part of it or just be fringe players? And I think they showed that they are capable of being, you know, crucial cogs in that machine. I think Matthew Kennedy also has continued on from his great form in the second half of last year, and it's great to see him doing well. And, of course, the resurgence of Patrick Cripps in the midfield is just something, you know, that all Carlton supporters should be absolutely thrilled with, that he's back to his best form of 2018-2019, and he looks like a very fit 27-year-old. I think he turned 27 on Friday, didn't he, yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday, that's right.
Yeah.
So, he looks like he's in really good nick now. So that's the beauty of the Carlton team now, is that we're not going to be as reliant as we thought we might have to be with Sam Walsh.
Right,
so they're the ones that excite me most. And the other one I've got to say that was, I guess, a very positive move was Mitch McGovern to the back line. I think that's going to be a winning move. I think we'll get far more value out of him as a roving sort of backman that just intercepts the ball here, there and everywhere. So hopefully he can be as good as his brother in that role.
Mate, he looked good. Let's hope so. Well, mate, we're going to have to wrap it up there, mate. But on behalf of the entire WA Blues community over here, mate, thanks for giving up your precious time. And
it's my pleasure.
And also talking us through a bit about what happened in the past, late last year. And,
no problem.
And as always, mate, on this show, go Blues.
Go the Blues.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Cheers, Vince.
Go Blues.
Thanks, Vince.
Again. Thank you.
Cheers. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues with Mel Hall on the panel. Anyway, it's all good. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero. I talk of none other than the hyper Mr. David Rees-Jones. Good morning, David, and we've got to be a bit pumped from last Thursday, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I think I did say I thought we'd beat them. I don't bet on the footy, and I backed them, so I collected as well. So it was a great night, and they very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Oh, I couldn't believe right from the start. I know the first quarter there were some errors. Geez,
yeah.
Tom De Koning, he's going to be something special, I think. Only a kid, but that grab he took, and smart move by Voss. He had Pitnet up against Nankervis most of the game, bullying him. And then the last quarter, he puts De Koning in the ruck, and Nankervis just couldn't go with him.
Yeah, no. He's a real talent. And the thing I like about De Koning is he goes at everything. He just, whether he's jumping for a mark or going for a tackle, I mean, he chases guys. He does a whole lot. So, and he's only going to get better, and he's going to learn a lot over, you know. Yeah, ruckmen do take time, so he's going to get better and better. And I thought Pittnett was great. He was brave in the ruck again, and our midfield was just superb. I mean, you watched him at work out there. As you said, look, the first quarter, they just looked nervous. They looked like the rabbits in the headlights sort of thing. They're making mistakes. And once they settled, I think Bossy obviously got them at quarter time and had a word to them, just settle down, you know, let things happen and obviously, you know, go back to your basics and that's what they did. And, yeah, it all went from there. Yeah.
Just speaking about that midfield on Fox, Lee Montagna said it's no longer Batman and Robin, it's now the Avengers, which I thought was an awesome quote. But how important do you think it is that all the midfielders are actually working together and gelling together now?
Well, you've got a bit more quality in there. I think when you bring Chera and Hewitt in there, it definitely adds a bit of quality. So, you know, I think there was one stage where there's about three or four guys hanging off Cripper. You know what I mean? And we got three blokes then, you know, around waiting for the ball to come out. So, who do you go to in there? Who do you go to? Who do you try and stop? And, the defensive aspect of them. Look, that Richmond midfield, Cochin's getting a bit older, and they obviously, I'm trying to think of the guy who did his hamstring press here.
Yeah.
He's a gun player, and they really, when he went off, it was a huge bonus for us. But our guys just go about our work, and you look at Kennedy, for example, who's able to blossom now in a very good midfield, whereas And even guys like Lachie O'Brien, you know, on the outside. You know, I've often said to people who have been critics of him, you know, how would he go in a Richmond team, or how would he go in a, you know, Melbourne team, or, you know, the teams who have been up there sort of thing. You'd see a lot better quality player and not having to be so defensive-minded. And so, you know, it's given our lesser players, I suppose, an opportunity to come out of their shell a bit and show their skills.
And then who do you think comes out of that inside mid-group for Sam Walsh? Because obviously he has to come back into it.
Oh, you just throw him in. You rotate him all around. You know, I mean, there's no limit on the rotations through there. So, it's more going to be a worry for the opposition coaches than I think it will be for Bossy. So, you've got quality going in there. I think, you know, watching Cripper over those last couple of matches, you know, he's kicked 7 goals. I think that's important. And he was, you know, when I was watching, you know, going back over the last few years, he was a bit like Casbolt. He'd be lined up a goal and you'd turn away sort of thing and just keep the fingers crossed. But, geez, he's obviously worked on his goal kicking because he's been dead all accurate. And he's added another bow to his game. You know, I mean, if his game could get better, and he's, which, you know, he's been able to do, you know, goal kicking's is fantastic for us as well. And you look at our forward line and our two key forwards in Charlie Kurnow and Harry Mackay had, you know, they contested well, but they had very little influence over the match. So that's another real positive, I think, anyway.
Hi, were you at the game on Thursday night?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, had some clients were entertaining in a box up the back, so it was... a great evening.
Well, I just wanted, with Sam Doherty and that goal, what was the energy? Because there was everyone over here, we had goosebumps and tearing up, and it was just such an emotional moment. But what was it like being there live?
Yeah, the guys around me, I said, you know, when he was lining up, I said, you watch this if he kicks this. I said, the place will erupt, and it certainly did. It was just, it was. It was, you know, got the ears on you. Back of your neck standing up, and you just felt, you know, proud for the guy in a lot of ways, what he's had to go through to, you know, just get back to playing football. I mean, you know, he's you're talking life and death stuff. But before all that, you've got to remember, he went through all that knee problems. You know, he had his ACL done twice, and, you know, what he's had to go through is amazing. And no doubt, you know, he was an inspiration out there for the players too, isn't he? Not only did he, you know, just turn up and have a kick around, he was very valuable to us too, and read the play back there, and he was a bit of a general back on the back line. So it was, a real bonus, and he's a quality footballer and a quality human being.
Touching on the inspiration to the side, Jacob Withering's press conference.
Withering,
sorry. I had to get a Craig moment in there for us since he's not here today. Just to see his his press conference after the game, he was tearing up. He got emotional and he said, you know, so it just shows how much of an inspiration he is to the players.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're all mates, you know. I mean, put it this way, they're going to work every day. They're you know, they're your workmates, they're your footy mates, and off-field, they're very close as well. So, you can understand it and what it would have meant to them. And then, you know, it's easy, you know, you obviously kick the goal, they all got around him there. But when you sit back afterwards and reflect on it, I suppose, you know, can get a bit emotional for some guys. And, I didn't actually see that press conference, but, you can imagine that he'd be a real leader around the place and... you know, I think just becoming an inspiration to all of us.
So I think a lot of fans who have the number 19 on their Guernseys were a bit upset when Eddie Betts retired, but I think they might be a little bit happy now with Durden in that. How important do you think he was, and what an asset you think he can potentially be to the team as that small forward?
Yeah, both him and Owies down there, they just give you something. And what I love about them both is, well, they're quick and they've got good skills and so forth, but they really put that forward pressure on and they, you know, they're chasing, they're doing the tackling, doing the hard things, the little things And yeah, so both of them, Owies and Durden, I think are huge bonuses for it. And once again, you rotate it through, there's going to be days where Harry Mackay's going to be taking 10, 12, 15 marks sort of thing, and you're not going to get as many opportunities. But just being there and being in the right spots all the time is their job, and then they kick goals too. So yeah, it's been great.
Mate, we talked touch on this a bit early in the show, but Charlie Curnow, we know he's been out for a while and he's had that wretched luck with the knee and all. He just looked a little bit, we said, starstruck. He just, he did contest a few things, but he just didn't seem to know where to run or where to position himself. We hope he gets back to the best because he could be an absolute superstar. So any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, look, I'd love to grab him and pull him aside and just say, Charlie, you're a superstar. Mm. Go and play like a superstar. Get out there and just do whatever you want to do. And he's confidence is a huge thing playing footy, and he's got to get back and have confidence in his body, I suppose, confidence in his own ability. I think he's on the superstar wage, I suppose. You've got to start, and hasn't really done too much over the last few years, but I wouldn't put that side of it on him. I think that's going to be too far, but I think he really needs to someone to just grab him and say, Charlie, you are a bloody sensation. You can mark, you can grab, you can run, you can do this, do that. We need you doing it. We need you in the play. You need to get yourself involved a lot more. So, and as soon as he starts getting himself, to where the ball's going and gets a bit of confidence off and going, and hopefully he gets back in anywhere near what he was before his injuries, will be a huge bonus for us.
So on Thursday night upcoming, we're versing the Western Bulldogs, who lost the grand final on Wednesday night this week. I thought they had their moments. In that second quarter, they looked really good. The rest of the game, I thought they were quite average, but I think that's because Melbourne were absolutely fantastic. I think that was not a lot on the Bulldogs. So how do you think we could potentially go on Thursday night? We've got no Voss, we've got no Jack Martin, and we might have a couple of other outs.
Yeah, and they might have no Bontempelli too with a bit of luck. He's got an ankle problem, so he's in doubt at the moment, so that'd be a bonus, although he looked slow and out of sorts the other night as well. But that was the one thing that really stood out. The Bulldogs side looked slow, and often you do when you're chasing bums after a while. When you do get the ball, you're not going as quick as you normally would be. So, they would have built themselves up for that match, and that would have flattened them a bit. So hopefully we get them, in a good space, and just their big bloke down forward. I'm trying to think of his name now.
Aaron Norton.
Yeah. He almost took the game apart himself, and he is a super talent. I love watching him play. He just jumps at everything, and he's a beauty.
Yeah, Weedering will probably have to go to him, and he'll have his work cut out, because as you said, we talked about that. Aaron Norton, his game on Wednesday night reminded us, remember that game that Charlie played against the Doggies years ago?
Kick seven.
It was just looked like that. I mean, and look, I don't want to keep harping on Charlie because he will come good, I'm hoping. But Norton, he is an absent, he's a gun, and he is one we're going to have to pay full attention to if we've got to get over the Doggies on Thursday.
The other one's Bailey Smith. He was absolutely fantastic on Wednesday night, so I'm really hoping someone can try to shut him down on that midfield.
What I'm hoping...
Yeah, well, hopefully they don't get their hands on the ball and balls down our forward line. That just makes it easy, and if we keep winning all those clearances, then they won't have their hands on the ball, so hopefully it works the same.
Yeah, mate, what we're going to hope for is that we don't get any more COVID cases, because...
That was my next question.
Oh, go, sorry, now,
it
go
was
now.
Just to with these COVID cases, looking at our the VFL side, who do you think should come in if we do have to, fill some gaps, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I think there's about 14 or 15 of our guys played a cracky match against Richmond, who've been pretty strong in the seconds over the last few years, and I think they belted them by 80 or 90 points or something.
Yeah, they did,
and I think they kicked 10 goals in the first quarter. And I haven't seen too many reports about it. I did ask a guy who was there what how Jack Carroll went. He said, oh, yeah, he's a star, this kid. So he's one to keep an eye out for, and I think he'll be given an opportunity in the early stages too of this season. So
Carroll got two goals.
Yeah,
he got two goals in last week. Oh, sorry, on Thursday. Carroll did. He got two goals.
30 possessions.
Yeah.
So, he's quality. I remember last year we spoke about him early on, and then he got hurt, and he sort of just never really got a good run at it. So he's had a pretty good pre-season from all accounts, and he's a young kid who is going to be a very, very good footballer for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that he will, mate. Hey, just a quick one, Dave, before we let you go. Do we have you next Saturday, or are you down Tassie? What's the go with that one?
I'm just trying to think. I reckon I'll be right because I've got an early flight down, unfortunately. I think I'm on a 7 o'clock plane. Oh. So, you'll be able to get me, and I'll find somewhere, duck aside for 20 minutes or so and have a chat for sure.
Mate, and let's hope we're chatting after another great win after we knock off
2-0 and sitting up on top of the ladder would be nice, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Wouldn't it indeed?
Anyway, mate, we'll let you go. Thanks again for your time. We always appreciate it on the show here, and go Blues.
Blues, yep,
thank
for
you.
Sure.
Cheers,
thanks,
Hi.
Guys.
Mate, I love David, mate. Honest, love him, love his passion. It's all good.
Speaking of that ladder, did anyone last night when Collingwood won quickly check to see if they were below or above us? Because I definitely did and was very happy to see them just below us.
Nah, it's okay. They only played St Kilda. anyway, we haven't got long to go, but just want to just talk about our upcoming function we got, which is the first one for the year, and hopefully that Mr. McGowan will get rid of all these restrictions and we can go back to normal. Our function's not until, what round is it? It's round 4 on Sunday the 10th of April versus the Gold Coast at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. Bounce down's 2:10, but make sure you get there earlier, and if Jesse's listening, to get those hot
roast beef rolls.
He loves them. Again, as I said, let's hope that the restrictions are off. I did mention last week too, when you come down, we're bringing back the end of season raffle. First prize is a 1995 Premiership Players from WA signed jumper, Earl Spalding, Matt Clappe, and again, beautifully custom framed by Blair and Maria Buckingham from Master Picture Framers. Second prize, which is a beauty, is two seats as guests of Hyundai in the Hyundai VIP suite at the RAC Arena. And then runner-up prizes, there's a $500 cash donated by Allmark & Associates, $400 voucher donated by Master Picture Framers, $250 voucher donated by Barbara O'Butchers, $10 a ticket. It'll be drawn at our last function, and hopefully that's grand final day, but we're not sure. So let's just hope it's like that.
Probably won't be grand final day because we'll all be in Melbourne at the grand final.
We can only hope. Also, to keep an eye out on our website and Facebook page for the Fremantle function, because we'll have a big pre-match function at the Canfield in the hall.
23rd of April?
That's correct, yep. I'm not sure what time. I think it might be pre-match may start at 2:30.
Yep, the game starts at 5:10, yeah. I believe.
And we're going to have great raffle prizes. We're going to have auctions. We're going to have people from the clubs. And again, it's a gold coin donation to come in. Everyone's welcome. And all that money goes to Carlton, back to the Carlton Footy Club, to either Carlton Respects or sponsoring players, that type of thing.
It's an awesome day pre-game. Like when we can actually have the players here, the atmosphere is just dynamic and, you know, the kids love it. It's a great family day, so get
Let's
down.
Just hope it's not one of those games like the last 3 years against Fremantle where you're kind of almost about to go into cardiac arrest. I think I just prefer like a 50-point win.
I don't know. I've been loving those little wins of my hubby. I just love rubbing it in.
That's true. So they've got a good midfield too for you.
I know. I'm looking forward to seeing them play against the Crows. No Nat Fyfe, no Sean Darcy. I'm actually really hoping Adelaide get up.
That's true.
But it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks again for a great show, guys, and welcome back, Paris. Good
Thank
to have you.
You
back on. Also, great thanks always to David Rees-Jones, who gives up his time every week. He's fantastic for us. And also to our special guest, Vince Lochizano. Good chat. We could have kept chatting for Vince for a long time. Anyway, so keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues. And they will know that they've been playing against the fans.